This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
Really using Curiosity, it saves us so much energy. And we're more likely to get the outcomes that we want, whether it's the way we see ourselves, the way we see someone else, and what actually happens in the situation.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone. Joining me here is the wonderful Bree Tucker from my guest room.
Hello, everybody. How are you? I know, right? We have had a lot of struggles in the last 48 hours, mainly
we have
the internet.
And if you want to hear them, we are going to talk about them in the interview today. So we really get down because it was like a big challenge all today, I feel like, for this interview with the wonderful Nithya Kharia, because it was like, it's just living in the messy middle and not being perfect. And you can't expect things to be perfect. You just have to accept them as they are and go through the best you can. And I think that this podcast episode is the best example of that one.
I don't think it could have happened to a better guest and a better message that she was delivering. So
exactly. You are going to hear so much good stuff in here. Nithya Kharia is a speaker, author, and coach who helps women consistently prioritize their well-being without guilt so they can live their life and feel good. Her high vibe habits help them live without the stress that blocks them from experiencing the life they want. She wants you to get happy on purpose. And listen in this episode for Nithya's two habits that she recommends you start practicing right now so that you can start receiving happiness instead of just giving it to everyone around you. So we hope you enjoy this episode. And now on with the show.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Oh, okay. Nithya,
it's
welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nithya. I'm going to be laughing so hard, Nithya. I think we need to start this podcast episode to just let people know how they can live in this messy middle and how nothing is perfect, because I think we proved that nothing is perfect this morning. What was the struggle you just had to go through?
I have been updating, apparently, my computer, which is way too old and has now taken like 18 minutes for us just to be able to see each other.
We've been there, though. We've been there on that end, too. Trust me. That's what Joanne like had that with her computer, plus the fact that her computer loved to miraculously just be like, nope, I'm turning off now.
Yeah. That was a faulty cable I found. There's always a reason with technology, always. But dealing with the messiness and trying to go through it until you find that reason is so frustrating, which Bree's going through it right now, which is why she's in my guest room currently recording.
Yeah. I'm over at Joanne's. Thank goodness for portable mics and laptops. It makes this work because otherwise it's going to be interesting.
Exactly. But Nithya, I think it's so important to talk about like mistakes in the messy middle, because you have been in our past two summits and you talk all about happiness and finding that happiness, particularly as a mom. And I know that you've had such a fascinating career and life that I know. So before you got into this area, you were a fashion designer, right?
I was slash still am, Joanne. It's a second business that I have actually.
What do you design?
Yeah, right now I have a business partner and we're actually launching something in the medical field, but that's fashion-based, so.
That sounds very interesting. Yeah. I'm intrigued.
We are excited about it, but it's still in the developmental phase, so we're not really
talking
about it.
Yeah.
You can say it's coming.
You're saying
it's coming, though.
You're like,
it's
Joanne, I can't answer any more questions about it. Wink, wink. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
You got me up.
So how did you start working in this field of happiness and helping people develop that?
Yeah. You know, I actually want to thank you for bringing up the fashion design piece, because I feel like it used to be something that was really exciting, but also was something I was like secretly, you know, had a whole nother set of thoughts around, like people didn't think I'm smart because I was a designer. People did, you know, all this other stuff about, you know, anyway, how I see myself really, or how I'm afraid someone else is going to see me. And so thanks for bringing it up, because it is something that really does represent my whole journey, because I think I've been on a journey trying to help women show up just as themselves, feeling really confident and really contributing to this happiness piece, first from an external kind of point of view of when we put something on, how does it make us feel? And I really feel like what I do now is an evolution of where I came from. Mm-hmm. And now I really get to work on the internal components of how do we get to offer ourselves this thing? And because that is the truth, right? It is, the myth is that it comes and it goes, that it's just not here, that we have to work so hard to create it, when really the goal, and just like you were saying this morning when we started this, right, that if it can't be something outside of us, because something always happens. So yes, it gets to be something. This was such a good practice even for me as I'm watching this update bar go. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so slow. And they're probably getting so upset. And, you know, like all the thoughts we can have around what we can't control. And then just coming back to, well, this is where we are. And I sure hope it works. But yeah, here we are.
It was so interesting. It was so interesting that we have these thoughts, because we do all have these thoughts that people are getting upset. And on the other side of the camera, I could tell you, like, I was arguing on Instagram while you were which I should not do. I should not go into that depth where people are just so critical and unwilling to hear your opinion, and you feel like you have to defend it and you have to fight it. It's hard. But it's interesting that you mention this thing about, you know, not wanting to talk about being a fashion designer because people would think less of you. We were just talking with Chelsea Gooden yesterday, who wrote a book about the power of teenage girls called Underestimated. And in the book, she talks specifically how teenage girls today have a very different thought of what like being a strong woman is compared to our generation. Like our generation, we are like, they won't take me seriously. They'll think I'm like capricious. They'll like, they'll think like I'm just fluff or whatever, if you're interested in fashion or beauty or anything. And the girls today are saying that they could be both. They could be both interested in the beauty. They could be interested in the fashion. They could do everything. And they could be like hella smart and intelligent and have these great discussions. So I thought it was interesting, because that does appear a lot for us.
I love that. Yep. That's so good to hear.
Yeah. It's such a so good. So you got into this field of happiness and seeing it's something from the outside, really, that a lot of people look at to think that it causes happiness. And I've done that before in my journey. You like have a goal in the future, be it like writing a book, or maybe it's like a goal in your company, or maybe it's like losing some weight, and you think getting to that goal is going to make you happy. What have you seen in that?
Yeah, I lived that, Joanne. I lived that, the checking the boxes and the belief that, you know, it was going to be like this byproduct, but a natural, an obvious byproduct of making all of the other right decisions and getting good grades, making sure people like me, doing all the things, living in a certain place, having my kids go to a certain school, all of the things, when it took me some, you know, I feel like something always big has to happen to really shake us out of this, you know, this kind of really well-grooved path that we're in. And we're in it so deep that we feel like this has to work, or I have just spent my whole life doing what? Like, it's just so frustrating, right? And irritating. And you want it to be true, this dream that you have in your head. And the truth is, it's like, I did. My husband was in an accident, and I was just faced literally instantly with this idea that just like, how long am I realistically going to give myself that I'm going to keep believing in this idea that, oh, if I just do more, that's going to be the answer. And it was just, you know, this process and, you know, all the coaching and the learning and the re-education around understanding that happiness is really a perspective. And it's something that we offer ourselves. And by being able to prioritize ourselves, which is how we get to stay in this feel-good state, is actually, it makes all the other decisions that we get up in the morning and try so hard to do, it just makes them all easier because we're actually, right, we have the energy, we have the perspective, we have the control, essentially, that we are looking so hard for in the other things.
I want to hear a little bit more about your thought process during that time when your husband was in the accident. You let go of this idea that if you just do more. So what were you trying to do more of then, and how did that change?
Yeah, I was flooded. It was like the thing. I feel like as a driven woman, right, as somebody, it was what I knew how to do. That is how I solved all of my problems. It's I'll just work harder. Oh, I'll do more. I brewed fresh herbs for him for the inflammation. He was hit by a car and his leg was run over and he's made a full recovery. But I was just like, I'm doing this naturally. We're going to try to avoid this. We're going to do it. You know, I'm going to take my kids to school. All the meals are still going to be home cooked. I'm not going to ask for help. I didn't even tell my best friend. Like nobody in my mom knew. And it was just like something that I just was holding on to control so tightly of everything that I could do. But what I found was it was just like a bit like Scrooge, you know, how he has the ghost of Christmas future that comes to visit him. And what I saw, it was like an out-of-body experience over these like couple of months of just watching myself, just what felt like literally fade away. And I was like, this is what's going to happen to me. It was like this scary aha of this could take 40 years to fully manifest, but I can see this happening right now, like in front of me, this feeling of like, I am nothing. My life feels like nothing but a to-do list. I was giving so much, I couldn't, it was actually really hard to love my husband in that moment because I was like doing the dishes and doing, you know, okay, feed him and he couldn't move, right? So it was like he'd eat and then the dish would be sitting right there on the coffee table. And I think for any of us who do like domestic work, right, in any way, shape or form, it's just, it's frustrating. And you're like, but I just left and I've been commuting for 3 hours back and forth, taking kids to preschool and then to first grade and drop-offs and pickups and groceries and all of the stuff that we do daily, right? It was just like on this hyper fast forward. Mm-hmm. And I just felt, what was the point? Because I love my husband. I want to be a mother and a family. And none of it was bringing me joy. It was just this, like, everything I looked at was like, I have to do something, right? And it's just,
to-do list.
It wasn't who I was. And I knew that, right? I'm a joyful person. I'm a really positive, upbeat person. And I love loving people. Like it's really something that I enjoy. And that was the thing. There was just zero joy left in all of it.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people can identify with feeling their life is one big to-do list and just things that they have to get through. And if they get through all the things, then that's the thing that's going to bring them joy. What was the twist? What were the first actions that you took to get you out of that place of seeing it as a complete to-do list and then moving into joy? And I want to hold that question because we're going to hear about it right after this break.
Hey, all. It is Joanne.
And Brie here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes. You have probably heard me talk about my dog, Addie, before. And when we first got her, we didn't know that she was a counter surfer. Now, counter surfing animals are the ones who jump on counters, especially kitchen counters, when you're not looking and take stuff off of them. Well, in this instance, Addie had jumped onto the kitchen counter and eaten an entire bottle of my other dog's pain medication. You can imagine the freak out that ensued from me. So imagine this. You're at the vet's office again. Knowing that vet care costs continue to rise, you're anxiously waiting to hear how expensive the bill will be. But if you had pet insurance, your pet could be covered for accidents or illnesses. That's why you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care that they may need. They allow you to customize the plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/no-guilt. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/no-guilt. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/no-guilt.
This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
So Nithya, you were telling us about this time in your life where you were taking care of your husband after he was in an accident and your life was just one big to-do list. So I want to know, like, what were the first steps you took to get out of this feeling like you just have all these things to do to moving more towards happiness and joy?
Yeah, I think, Joanna, it was really starting to ask the questions, right? The things that I didn't want to ask before. Like, I didn't want to give myself the permission, right? I didn't feel like it was okay. And to even say, like, what's really, like, one, there's a problem, right? Like, I just had to admit that this wasn't working. Like, I wasn't happy. And I had to get over the fact that how could you not be grateful for everything you have and for the outcome, right? He's safe. He's going to be okay, we know, in the end. And realizing that gratefulness couldn't be my ceiling. Like, it just, it was just this growing sense, really, by stepping back and just saying, okay, what if it could be different? Just what if? What if I just said, I don't know what it looks like, but there's got to be another way. And just starting to ask myself that question just made me hear so many of my thoughts. And I did certifications. I went through coaching and did all sorts of stuff and dabbled in neuroscience and, you know, neuroplasticity and health coaching, and just really started to see the common thread here about not just, you know, the connection between my body was telling me all the time what I realized was for the 30 some years even before that accident happened.
Ooh, what was your body telling you? I want to hear, like, those signs.
Right? I mean, I had suffered from what I realized was anxiety, but because I was a high performer, in my mind I didn't connect that as an issue because I thought, well, anxious people aren't functioning the same way in society, right? Like, they can't do things or they don't do things. It was such a naive way to really look at it, but I don't think it was something that was really talked about a lot. I don't think that much at all, really, in the 90s, right?
No.
And so, like, became, you know, as I came into my own as a woman and, you know, building a life of my own, I didn't I just felt like, oh, this is just a part of me that says I'm not as confident as other people. And this just isn't for me. So I get to show up and pretend like I'm somebody else and say, like, I'm going to keep trying to be like her. And again, using the same muscles, the same habits of, okay, I can work hard. I can try to look like this. I can try to do it like this. I can try to be like this. And realizing, again, with all of the stuff like the reevaluation, the questioning, the coaching certifications, all that stuff really helped me to see that, wait a second, like, it's not the same muscle. They're different habits. I actually have to learn how to do something different, not more of the same, which is where we learn, right? Like, that it's not doing more that's going to solve it. And that double-edged sword that also I can still be driven, right? I don't have to then say, well, I guess I don't get anything in life. I'll just settle for this small piece. That also didn't feel right to me. And so my work is really around combining, like, how do I get to be me? Say, I want all this stuff. It's okay. And how do I get to do it in a way that feels good?
It's so interesting too, when you mention anxiety and high performers, like I too, like I knew I got worried. I knew I got anxious, but I didn't realize how incredibly bad it was. And just sharing stories like this really helps people. My cue that I'm like, I think I need to get treatment for this is it was just a simple Instagram reel. I was like following Jamila Jamil, who was on The Good Place. And she put her like backstage thing of she was on a talk show and she came around the wrong side of the couch on the talk show. So she just crawled over the back of the couch and plopped down. And she's like, and here's what anti-anxiety meds do. And I'm like, yeah, like someone else is there. She is very, very high achieving. And here she is just having the ability to be silly and funny in front of a really large audience of people. And that cued me into being like, hey, like there is a different way to experience joy here. There is something that's holding me back in particular. And that's when I got diagnosed and I scored like 19 out of 20 on the anxiety scale. Wow. Like you don't even know how bad you may be. And I see in your story too, you don't even know how bad it is until you get evaluated and you get help for it. And now I look back at that person and I'm like, oh, I wish like I would have gotten treated sooner for it, because there's so much happiness that lies when you are able to conquer those things.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, just like having that awareness, right, and starting to work in my own ways around it, I realized that it was all those things that actually blocked my happiness, right? The same things that I thought were driving me. It's like using the same side of a hammer, right? Like I can't take the nails out and put them in with the same side. It's just, it's not an effective tool anymore. Doesn't mean it doesn't have a place in our tool belt, right? But that we get to learn that there's really like the yin and the yang, the opposite, however you want to say it, right? The masculine, the feminine. But there are it's again, a different muscle set, a different way, different habits that we practice that really allow ourselves to receive. So that even as I'm giving, doing the work for my business or for my family, I'm also receiving in some way, shape, or form from that work. And I'm valuing the idea that how I feel matters. Like it really does. It's not a selfish goal, because anything that I interact with, my work, people, it's affected by my emotional state. And so learning to regulate that is just this really powerful form of control. And the thing that we always hand to someone else, right? Oh, my husband's supposed to make me feel loved. My best friend is supposed to make me feel like I have community and I'm wanted. It's such a heavy burden we place on each other to fill this big thing inside of us that really we never get to keep if we don't offer it to ourselves first. And then everybody else gets to add to that. And it changes the game without changing anything else, literally, right? It starts here. And like I say, like my life hasn't changed. I have the same husband. I live in the same house. We make more or less the same amount of money. I still have two kids. And my life is completely different, the experience of it. And this is like the thing I get so excited about. It's actually possible.
Let's get into like the nitty gritty now. What is one habit that you practice to actually receive that happiness instead of just giving?
I say the first place is always to just be asking yourself and check in, have a gauge, right? How am I feeling right now? Because if I'm like about to say something or do something, but I check in first and I realize, oh my gosh, I can feel my shoulders are really tense. I can feel, you know, whatever, my head is hurting, my stomach, I'm feeling nervous. Whatever it is, it's giving me a signal that I'm probably not in a good place to make that next best decision. And if I do that, right, if I just react, I inevitably tip off that cycle that we're all so used to, right? Oh, now I feel bad about this. Oh, I should have done that. Now, and it boils back down to this whole idea that this I am belief. Oh, I'm just someone who's not patient. Oh, I'm not someone who's a good mom. I'm not someone who can have a business, you know, that's big because I get overwhelmed. The thoughts that we have keep boiling down to our identity in the end. And so if I keep my compass set, my North Star is really, I get to feel good because this is how I am productive and loving and patient and all of the things that I want to be, have the energy, then I get to ask myself, how do I feel right now? Because it is the most important question because it changes how I'm showing up and the decisions I'm making.
That it's such a good thing because I haven't been feeling well for the past few days. And I told my husband, I'm like, is it okay if I just go down to rest? And he's like, yeah, it's okay if you go down to rest. And I'm like, but I feel like I should be exercising or something. Like I described it as I feel like I'm gaslighting myself that I actually am not sick, but I'm pretending that I'm sick and I should really muscle up and get through it. And I don't think, and Bree's giving me a weird look, but I don't think that my thought process is that uncommon for other, like maybe not being sick, but maybe it's like, staying in a situation with your kids where you feel like you're going to blow up and you're like gaslighting yourself that you're not a patient person or you're not like all yes. of that.
Okay. My little was the whole like making yourself think that you're sick, but you're not. That was where I was like, wait, I'm not following. But yeah, I've been in those places where your stomach is like, this is just wrong. This is not where I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that you brought that up because I think this is so true, right? It seems like an emotional peak, right? We hit this top point that we're like, I explode. I can't take it. I do the thing, I say the thing, or I don't do the thing or say the thing, right? And we beat ourselves up for what happens at that peak. But what happens on the inside is actually, it's like you're at a trough, right? That's a nadir. That's your absolute emotional low where you are so depleted that you couldn't possibly, and we can't change those moments in those moments. We change them by what happens in between the moments. And this is why asking ourselves, and also to your point, this is why I teach it as habits, because we have to stay flexible in our thinking because we're human and what we need changes daily, hourly. So if I create such a rigid plan, I will always end up cutting myself down because at some point I'm not going to be able to necessarily hit that high bar that I've set. And if I'm not considering, wait a second, like you said, right? I just had family in town last weekend and I'm feeling a little depleted. Like I didn't get the alone time I needed and now the house is a mess. And if I think I'm going to be able to perform at the same without taking into consideration, again, I'm not in the place where I am, where I wanted to be last week and I checked all those boxes last week. I did it last week, so I should be able to do it this week.
Oh, yeah. Just, I do that a lot. Yes.
Yeah. The shoulds. Those shoulds will get you
those
every
shoulds
time.
Get you. Nithya, I want to hear another habit you have for receiving happiness right after this break.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Hey guys, Bree here. And let me tell you, April is a killer time of the year for me because it is crazy allergy season. I swear, everything that is in bloom looks fantastic and beautiful, but it makes it so I can't breathe. I am literally coughing, sneezing, rubbing my nose. I look like Rudolph half of the spring. It's terrible. But luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies like I do, we live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can finally breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine is the best decongestant available. It relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I absolutely love it. It is the only allergy medicine that works for me. So if you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just one quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
So Nithya, you gave us a really great habit to practice of checking in with yourself, seeing how we feel, to be able to receive this happiness instead of just give it as moms. What is another habit that we could put into practice?
Okay, my next favorite one, Joanne, is practicing curiosity. Instead of looking at ourselves, at our life, our partner, wherever we are right now, instead of using judgment and like comparison, to really reflect with genuine curiosity. And it's really, you know, we're human, we create meaning, that's what we do in our brains. But when we can try to just step back a second, we regain a sense of control, the empowered feeling that we want to make those decisions. Because instead of being like, oh my gosh, how could I have just done that? Or I can't believe you just said that to me, Joanne. Instead, when I'm curious, I don't take things so personally. And again, there's nothing wrong with being a sensitive person, an empath, all of the things. I am a really sensitive person. But it doesn't serve me when if my feelings are always hurt and I'm back in my own head and I have lost the ability to show up really effectively and right, to be able to say, oh, Joanne might be having a bad day, or wow, I know she had a big meeting coming this morning. She's probably stressed. Let me just rephrase this, or I know she didn't mean it that way. And it's not to make excuses for other people's misbehavior or things, that it's not accepting that. It's really keeping yourself in a state of control that says, yeah, I didn't really care for that. Or, okay, here's what I really want. I need my kid to understand that this is where we are right now. This is what I need. And I realize that they're having a really hard time right now. And it's not about me. Or gosh, this work project, it totally bombed. Or my computer wasn't up to date today. And instead of being like, oh God, how stupid, I should have done this thing, I can be like, okay, hopefully we still have time to do this episode. Now I know, right, to update my Riverside or update my Chrome and all that stuff. But really using curiosity, it saves us so much energy, and we're more likely to get the outcomes that we want, whether it's the way we see ourselves, the way we see someone else, and what actually happens in the situation.
I love that. Curiosity. Curiosity is my favorite parenting strategy ever, because when we literally lean into it, like in our balance program, actually, we teach parents how to parent with curiosity and figuring out like what is behind their kids' outbursts, what's behind their big opinions, why are the kids reacting this way? Because when you have those conversations, there's been so many times where Bree and I both have teenagers, and teenagers aren't nice most of the time. Like they have nice a lot. They're learning.
They have big opinions. And my favorite way to describe them is they are preschoolers with better vocabulary.
Yeah.
Well, the emotional shifts are like very similar to what we had then.
And they're learning how to regulate, and they're learning how to state their opinions in a way that doesn't completely emotionally demolish the other person. But when we pause in that moment, I mean, just the other night, my daughter got mad at me and I had to say, okay, I'm just going to shut my mouth. I'm going to shut my mouth because I was going to say something. And then finding out later that when we were both calm, she was just really stressed about getting a lab report done. And she was really stressed about her like chemistry class. And that's why she was so snippy with me. It was nothing I did. It was nothing about how I raised her at all. Yeah. And that curiosity helps so much.
It really does. It just takes the edge off. And again, you know, with happiness, like I say, being an internal condition, it's really just – so I'm going to share this story. I had a really rough day the other day, and I – took my pause by just telling my kids, I'm really frustrated. I think I need to step away so I don't say something or do anything. So I went upstairs. I actually took a shower, and I got out of the shower. And when I looked at the mirror, you know, it was all fogged up. But in the mirror, there was a message from my son and said, I love you, Amma. That's what he calls me, mom. And I thought, this is it, right? This is the condition. These things exist around us. But if we're not in that state to create the condition to see it all around us, right? Mm-hmm. The foggy mirror, the love, the hugs, the love, the kind things, the gifts in our life, right? Really exercising gratefulness in this healthy way, not as a ceiling, but as like a place, a springboard, really something we get to grow from. This is why we get to do it. This is why we need it, because happiness isn't, it's everywhere. And it's in the life that we've created. It's just, again, we have to put ourselves in the place to be able to see it.
Absolutely. I think that's a mic drop moment. Yeah, exactly. Bree and I were thinking the exact same thing. Yeah. Lithia, what's coming up for you that you're excited about?
I am, guys, I'm super excited about being able to, with my book coming out, really taking that and creating community through a group coaching program that I'm launching very soon. And I'm so excited because it's more accessible, but also just for the biggest pieces, as you two definitely know, there's so much power in community and in finding each other and growing mm-hmm. with each other, learning with each other and from each other. And it's just a compounding learning effect because it meets so many of our needs, right? It's the, mm-hmm. I offer the strategy, the community is able to offer support alongside me. And it's just a feeling of not being alone, because I think this is one thing, like just as in the beginning, right? Sharing our stories, there's so much more commonality in the things we think we have to kind of, you know, those skeletons in our closet. It's just, we all have them and they're pretty much all the same skeletons, right? It's just,
they are.
It feels so big and scary to admit it. It's feels so hard to change direction if you've been living your life this way, but none of it's been a waste, right? And this is the thing. It's just, we get to transform it. There's nothing wrong with you. It's really this idea of how do we, you know, you're the solution. You're not the mm-hmm. problem. Just creating yeah. a space and a community to get to walk women through this and to do it together.
You're the solution. You're not the problem. It has been so wonderful, Nithya. And take note of the two habits that Nithya told you about. Check in with yourself. Get curious. And Nithya, we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
How are you feeling over there, Bree? I noticed you were hunched over during the interview with your less than ideal recording situations.
It's okay. Well, all right. Out of the options we have today, this is not the worst option. This is the best option, I think. So yeah, my back... The older I'm getting, the more I'm like, oh, my back. Oh, my gosh. Everything just snap, crackle, pops all the time.
What's that song? It's my back. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
No, I don't know either.
Okay. But yeah, so in order to make this work, the chair we have, and I'm like, seriously, I should take a picture and we'll share it on Instagram later, like how I had to have this set up so that I could record the episode. But yeah, I'm leaning forward. Just so that I can be a little closer to my mic, because otherwise I'm like way back here and I sound pretty different, I think.
There's an echo. I hear it.
Up here.
Yeah. I wonder if everyone listening to this podcast, like Bree and I are very attuned to sounds in the podcast, but listening to the podcast, can you hear when we are echoing or when the sound's not as good quality? Let me know on Instagram. Go DM me at noguiltmom.com and let me know, because sometimes I think
5 minutes and 25 seconds in.
Yeah, like sometimes I feel like it's like we get very sensitive about it, and it may not be something that everybody else notices, even though I will notice it in every single podcast. But that could be because I'm very sensitive about it.
Well, because it's our work. It's our work. And you already know that, because I complain to you every time. I'm like, that went down. You went out. I came in. It just, And the funny thing is, like, I do not know very much about sound editing, but I know enough to know that didn't sound right. I know that much. But you know what? We're the solution. So, if there is one thing that I loved, I loved everything about Nithya. And for people that have been with No Guilt Mom, you know her because she was in our Mom Ignited Summit. She was in our most recent Happy Mom Summit. She's fantastic. But I love her ability to help you sort of shift that lens and see that happiness isn't something external, that you can actually shift it and practice it every day. But my biggest mic drop, and we said it in the episode, was the whole, you are the solution. You're not the problem.
Yeah.
Because I think so often, right, with that mom guilt in us, we constantly think we're the problem. It's me.
So that's exactly what I think. We were just having a conversation the other day where you're like, I just don't want you to think that it's this. I want you to see it's that and that and that. Like, that net when I was getting, I wasn't really down on myself, but I was like, I have control over the situation and it was a business situation. But that is exactly like how I see it. I don't see it as like a problem-based thing. I see it as I'm the solution to it. And so when she said that, I'm like, yes, that is what I've been trying to say all along. You're not the problem. You're the solution. And it's a much easier way to take action from that.
So yeah, so I think that was just like the solution, not the problem, the mom guilt. Like we struggle with this every day, and just keep reminding yourself of that. You are the solution. You are so not the problem.
It's very true. Okay, yeah. Remember, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.